Radio Prague News.
Jordan's Prime Minister on an official visit to Prague has said the United Nations will have to do more if it is to help end the armed conflict in Syria. The Czech Export Bank provided more than 8 billion crowns in unjustified loans, according to a review by the Supreme Audit Authority. Even after a week, problems are continuing to plague the Transport Ministry's vehicle registration system. Jordan's Prime Minister Fayez al-Tarafna has said that the United Nations needs to play a far greater role and needs to exert more pressure on the government of Syria if it is to help end continuing violence and armed conflict in the Middle Eastern state. Mr. al-Tarafna, whose country borders Syria, made the statement in an official visit to the Czech Republic on Monday, where he met with Czech counterpart Petr Nečas. Violence in Syria has continued since January 2011. Peace envoy Kofi Annan is due to arrive in Russia, where he will appeal to Moscow to put more pressure on Syria's leadership to begin political transition to end the conflict. Russia has strong ties with Syria and has, for example, vetoed calls for foreign intervention. The Czech Export Bank provided 8.2 billion crowns, the equivalent of nearly 400 million U.S. dollars, in unjustified loans, according to a review released on Monday by the country's Supreme Audit Authority. The auditors found that around half of that sum was in fact provided in breach of Czech law, while more than 13% of the 143 billion crowns the bank gave out between 2005 and 2011 to support Czech exporters was sent to only two companies. One of the recipients paid over 40% of the sum to an offshore firm which, the auditors said, cast serious doubt over whether the move could be considered support of Czech exports at all. Some of the loans were also given without being reviewed by the bank's supervisory board, the report said. Even after 1 week, problems are continuing to plague the Transport Ministry's electronic vehicle registration system, news website IDNES writes. According to the Daily, software was updated over the weekend, but not all wrinkles have been ironed out by far. Originally, the ministry promised the system would resume properly within a matter of days. Complications have prevented car owners from registering or deregistering their vehicles. In places on Monday, officials said the system was running, but far from optimal, leading, for example, to long waiting periods. Experts are expected to conduct additional tests on Prague's Evropská Street, a section of which caved in recently, creating a roughly 5-meter-deep crater. František Polák, a spokesman for Metrostav, the firm overseeing tunneling below the avenue to extend the metro line, said the tests were intended to uncover other potential weak spots. Until now, some 200 meters of road had already been tested. Evropská Street had to be closed to traffic for a number of days after the cave-in, as workers poured concrete and repaved the collapsed section. Just a quick look at the weather now. Mostly cloudy conditions are expected throughout the week with rain in places. Daytime temperatures should reach highs between 18 and 20 degrees Celsius. And that's all the news for now. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Velinger. Coming up in today's program, the lower house of Czech Parliament passes a controversial bill on the restitution of church property. We'll have all the details. We'll also have all the latest in sport, and in one-on-one we'll be talking to Czech journalist Jana Ciglerová. That's all ahead. The lower house of the Czech Parliament has passed a controversial bill on the restitution of church property. Under the draft legislation, 17 Czech churches and religious groups would get tens of billions of crowns worth of physical property confiscated by the communist regime, plus financial compensation. The bill will now be put to the vote in the opposition-controlled Senate, which is likely to turn it down, and that would mean it would be returned to the lower house for final approval. Jan Richter has the details.
It took nearly 6 hours of debating in the lower house of parliament on Friday before the bill on the restitution of church property was finally put to the vote, a few minutes after midnight. The result, 93 MPs out of the 182 present supported it, 89 voted against. If approved by the Senate and the President, the bill will return 56% of the property confiscated by the communist regime, buildings, fields, forests, ponds and the like, to the Roman Catholic Church, along with 16 smaller religious groups. That property is worth 75 billion crowns, or nearly $3.6 billion. For the rest, the churches would receive financial compensation of 59 billion crowns plus interest, spread over the period of 30 years. The bill would also end state support for the churches, which amounts to 1.4 billion crowns a year, and would introduce a complete separation of church and state. For the centre-right Czech government, the church property restitution bill is a major point on its agenda. Government officials say it will rectify the wrongs of the past and end the dependence of churches on the state. The government also believes the deal will remove obstacles in the development of many municipalities which cannot use the disputed property, frozen in the early 1990s. But the opposition sees the deal, which will lead to one of the biggest property transfers in modern Czech history, as unjust. Social Democrats argue it is not quite clear which property was confiscated, and express concerns that the church might receive land and other real estate that it had not owned for years before the communists took over in 1948. Social Democrat Senator Josef Žaloudík explains their point of view.
This is not really only the restitution after the communist regime. It comes from history, also from the beginning of the Czechoslovakia. It comes even from the era of the Habsburg monarchy. So what we object and what is not clear is that there should be the list which would, or the demands of the churches should be clearly listed and enumerated in terms of properties, in terms of money, and this is not really prepared in such shape that we could agree.
The idea of giving churches back property is highly unpopular with Czechs, a majority of whom are not affiliated with any religion. In a poll which took place last December, 69% of Czechs rejected the deal, while a mere 8% of those polled said the confiscated property should be given back. The bill will now be debated in the Senate, where the opposition has a majority, and the outcome of the vote is fairly easy to predict, says Senator Žaloudík.
I think it can be clearly stated that because there are missing these basic things and the basic list of the demands, probably the social, not only the senators from the Social Democracy, which is the majority in the Senate, but also some other senators would probably object and would be against this bill.
If the Senate indeed rejects the draft legislation, it will return to the lower house, where the coalition will have to muster 101 votes to overturn the veto. The three coalition parties, the Civic Democrats, Topolnine and Lidem, can now rely on at least 105 MPs, which should be enough to push the bill through. But the lower house will vote on the bill in September, a month before Senate and regional elections. That might put coalition MPs under pressure to reject the controversial legislation and end the process of church property restitution for years to come.
Jan Richter reporting there on the situation with legislation that would return property to Czech churches, 17 of them to be exact. Of course, if you've been following the saga of church restitution in the Czech Republic, you may want to comment. You can do so easily by writing to us here at the station, and we do very much look forward to hearing from you. The address to write to is english@radio.cz, or you can send an old-fashioned letter to our street address, Vinohradská 12-120-99, Prague, the Czech Republic. Now, though, we turn to all the latest in sport, and for that, I'm joined by Dominic Yoon.
The prestigious Canadian publication The Hockey News has named retired ice hockey goaltending legend Dominik Hašek as the greatest European player of all time. Fellow Czech Jaromír Jágr, who currently plays for the NHL's Dallas Stars, was ranked third on the list. From 1993 to 2001, Hašek, now 47, won six Vezina trophies, which is an award presented annually to the best NHL goaltender. In 1998, chants of Hašek na Hrad, or Hašek to the Castle, were heard in Prague as the player helped secure the country's first ever Olympic gold medal in ice hockey. Hašek is no stranger to out-of-this-world honours. In 2003, the asteroid 8217 Dominik Hašek was named after him and is currently orbiting the Sun somewhere between Jupiter and Mars. 26-year-old Czech tennis player Barbora Záhlavová-Strýcová was defeated by the Italian number one seed Sara Errani in the finals of the Italiacom Open on Sunday. Errani, a runner-up in this year's French Open, cruised past her opponent in a mere 75 minutes with a comfortable 6-1, 6-3 straight sets win. However, the Czech player did not leave the tournament empty-handed. A day earlier on Saturday, Záhlavová-Strýcová and Czech teammate Renata Voráčová won the doubles competition, beating the Croatian Daria Jurak and Hungarian Katalin Marosi 7-6, 6-4. 2008 Beijing Olympic gold medal winner Barbora Špotáková looked in fine form at the rain-drenched Samsung Diamond League athletics tournament over the weekend. The competition, held in London's Crystal Palace, saw the javelin thrower Špotáková come in second place with a throw of 64.19 metres. She was topped by Britain's Goldie Sayers, who achieved a throw of 66.17 metres. After the tournament, Špotáková said that she was happy with the result and also glad to allay fears that she may not be fully fit. The player will have to beat her Diamond League score by several metres if she is to stand a chance at gold medal glory at London 2012. Czech police have closed the case into the death of Bohuslav Cepelcha, navigator to rally driver Martin Semerad at this year's Rally Bohemia competition. Cepelcha was killed on Saturday after Semerad, riding a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo 9, crashed into a tree during the third speed test stage. The driver suffered only a broken clavicle and other minor injuries, while efforts at the scene to revive his passenger proved futile. The competition was subsequently cancelled in light of the tragedy, while Semerad continues to recover in hospital in the city of Liberec. Police investigating the accident have now stated that the matter is closed as far as they are concerned, noting that no untoward circumstances were responsible and that in such a sport, regular traffic rules simply do not apply. Czech cyclist Zdeněk Štybar cruised to victory in the third stage of the Tour de Pologne, or Tour of Poland, road bicycle racing competition last Thursday. After almost 200 kilometres of racing, the final kilometre proved to be the toughest, with competitors riding on cobbled streets. Following the win, Štybar noted that during the third stage, the route crossed the southern Polish border into his native Czech Republic, around the town of Cieszyn, adding that the warmth of the Czech onlookers helped power him to victory. Overall, the tour is more than 1,200 kilometres long, spanning 7 days between July the 10th and 16th.
Dominic Yoon with that edition of The Sport. And of course, be sure to tune in next Monday again for more sports news about Czech athletes and sportsmen and women. There you go. Now we turn to our final major feature for this day, or main feature, and that is One-on-One, which is a repeat from May of last year. Jana Ciglerová studied journalism in Prague and in London, where she began working as a UK correspondent for the daily Lidové Noviny when she was still a student. She has since then written for an interesting variety of publications, including The Observer. Upon her return to the Czech Republic, she became the editor-in-chief of Elle and later launched a women's weekly, and currently she works for the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes and also produces a TV show. In this week's One-on-One, Jana Ciglerová speaks about UK media, feminism, and how she first became interested in becoming a journalist to Sarah Borůvka.
I think there were two things, as far as I remember well. There was a guy who I really admired, and he was a journalist, or he was a journalism student. He was my skiing instructor, and I fell in love with him, and I wanted to be so much like him. So that was one influence. And the other one was Barbora Tachetsi. She's a Czech TV journalist. Now she works in TV again, yes. And Barbora Tachetsi was very fierce in her way of asking questions, and I remember once she interviewed Václav Klaus in a way that he almost left the studio, or he maybe even did leave the studio, and she was, I loved the way she was fearless, and that was another, I wanted to be so much like her.
And I believe you studied in Prague, but also in the UK. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, I finished the Czech journalism school, and I always, that was one of my dreams. I wanted to have my own flat, and then I wanted to study in an English-speaking country. And I found out there was a scholarship from the British embassy, from the British government, actually, and I applied for that scholarship, and I was the first journalist who ever got that scholarship, and that's how I got to London, and I got to study international journalism, and I got my MA there, and it was, I have to say, the most fascinating year I've ever had in my career. It was excellent.
And I believe that later on you also stayed in London, and you were the UK correspondent of Lidové Noviny, and you also worked for The Observer. Can you tell me a bit about that experience, and also how the UK media compare to Czech newspapers?
That's very interesting, because of course you have your ideas and your idols, and then you come to the actual house and you see the journalists work, and you realize that it's pretty much the same everywhere. But while I was actually studying international journalism, I worked for Lidové Noviny, and I worked as a UK correspondent, which was a work I really, really loved. And also I was there, my aim there was, or my purpose was, to learn how to write in English. You know, it's very difficult to write in a foreign language, and so that was something I really wanted to learn. And it was an accident, but there was a journalist who was doing an undercover story about bogus visa and in London, and he was looking for a native speaker who would come with him and pretend that wants to apply for visa. So he chose me to come with him, and it was for the Evening Standard. Back then it was a respected paid newspaper. And so we did this story, and when, you know, we published the story, there was a whole page picture of me, you know, trying to enter some school, language school, pretending to be language schools. And it was very popular, and then this is how I got noticed, and I applied, as all of my other students, co-students, we all applied for the most prestigious media, Guardian, Telegraph and everything, but I was the only one who got accepted who got the internship, because actually I had a story, you know, with my cover photo, my huge photo, and an important article that revealed how the bogus visa language school operated. So that was it.
You also were for a while the editor-in-chief of Elle magazine here in the Czech Republic, and you later founded Ona Dnes, which is a supplement of the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes that is targeted at a female audience. Maybe you can tell me what it is like to work for media that tries to address a female audience specifically.
Well, these both two magazines were very different. Elle magazine is obviously a primetime fashion magazine, and it's mostly about fashion. And I felt always very close to women issues. And when I was offered the job at Elle, I thought no. And then I thought, maybe I can do there something. Maybe I can influence something. And I tried to bring a little bit of feminism onto the L pages and introduce working women, and, you know, we did several articles on them, but, you know, it was not the right publication to write about or to promote women's issues. So when Mladá Fronta Dnes was planning to launch a women's weekly, I felt that was my chance to create a magazine that I was missing on the Czech market. And we tried, but of course Mladá Fronta Dnes is again limited in its being mainstream medium. What I was trying to do was actually for a smaller group of women than Ona Dnes actually aims at. So I founded Ona, and I launched it, and I found a editor-in-chief, and I found the staff, and I let it go.
We will later return to this issue, but I would first like to ask you about a recent project you were involved in. I believe you were in the UK to cover the royal wedding. Can you tell me a bit about your experience on that trip?
Oh, yeah. I begged my newspaper to get me there, to let me go there, because it was, after all those years, it was, again, my favorite job, which was being a foreign, being a UK correspondent for Czech newspaper. You know, I so loved the job. The atmosphere in London was excellent. It was, you could really feel that they have something we don't have, you know. They have something to be proud of. The love story that they enjoyed. Cool people, not cool people, you know. Everybody was in Hyde Park. Everybody was watching it.
And I believe also recently you've been involved in a project called Dach Damo. Maybe you can describe your role in it and what it's all about.
So that's finally something I can address the women I wanted to address. It's a TV show. Most of the time, women are the ones who discuss. And it's Czech version of the famous American show, The View. And women should discuss mostly women's issues, but the real issues women address, you know, not issues which are dictated to women or projected to be women's issues. And I felt women are very strongly misrepresented in this country. There are no women in the Czech government. There are practically very few of them in the Czech politics, Czech parliament. And I thought that was a disgrace. And also when you get people invited, like commentators or analysts, invited to Czech shows to comment on the Czech news, it's mostly men. I wanted to show the world, or the Czech world, that there are actually great women, that there are smart women, and there are women with issues, women with ideas, and that that there are issues that women need to address.
And as a media professional, as a female media professional working in the Czech Republic, would you say that it is harder for a woman to make a career, to have a career in journalism specifically, than it is for a man?
Yes, absolutely. But it's the same in almost every other profession. When you enter the world of journalism, you're equal. When you work until you're the age of 30, you're equal. You climb up, they climb, men climb up. It depends only on your abilities. You know, this is fair. But when then the woman has children and the man's career goes on, and the social networking and economic networking goes on, whereas the woman's career stops and slows down, and even when she comes back after 3 or 6 years, because that's the maternity leave or parental leave here, when she comes back, she can only work a certain percentage of the time because the care of the children is again on her shoulders mostly. So that's why it is difficult for women here to have a career, because it interrupts by having children, it stops. And when you go back, you go on 40% of your previous salary. So you can't ever compare to men.
And how do you think women's magazines help perpetuating certain stereotypes of women? And what do you think needs to improve about the quality of reading and reading materials for women? How could that be maybe a catalyst for change?
It's a very interesting question, and it's a very difficult question, because I think there have to be many things to be implemented. But first, the magazines are sexist. They portray women, even the women's magazines, portray women as a sexual objects mostly. Most of the time you have advices how you should, what you should do with your appearance. And you have no alternative here, which is, that's what I find terrible. You have ageism, and there is lots of airbrushing. So you don't get the real woman in the magazines, you know, so you don't get to see them. And when you get to the point where you have children and your interests may change a little bit, you immediately fall into category of being a mama, you know, mommy, and strictly mommy, and who's not enough mommy is branded as the mother who doesn't love their children. So we can only change the stereotypes of how we look at women and women's roles in the society by correcting the one that is now, and by raising our voices against being stereotyped and being sexualized.
A
Our guest in One-on-One was journalist Yana Tsiglerova speaking to Sara Borufka. That edition was first broadcast in May of last year. And speaking of rebroadcasting or reruns, it's now time for our long-running but much-loved language series, The ABC of Czech, with Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own Czech language course, which looks at Czech numbers and their use in idioms and sayings. Today I'm here with
Linda Maštalíš,
and we'll be examining the number 4.
Čtyři.
The name of the figure is
čtyřka.
The word also means a very bad mark in school, a premolar tooth, a fourth gear in a car, or a number 4 tram. A similar sounding word is
čtyřčata.
Quadruplets, one quadruplet being
čtyřče.
A group of 4 is
čtveřice.
Not to be confused with
čtverec.
A square, as in a polygon with 4 equal sides and equal angles. That again should not be confused with
čtverák.
A prankster, a tease. Why this meaning is related to the number 4 is a bit of a mystery to me. On the other hand,
čtvernožec
is a quadruped, a word usually applied to dogs. Another way of saying 4 is
čtvero,
as in the phrase
čtveroročních období,
the 4 seasons, like the collection of violin concertos by Antonio Vivaldi. Staying with music,
čtverilka
is the quadrille. One quarter is
čtvrtina.
And just as in English, a quarter in Czech means a district of a town, only a slightly different form of the word is used.
Čtvrť.
This form is also used in telling the time. If you want to say it's quarter past one in Czech, you say
je čtvrť na dvě.
Literally, it's a quarter of two. Please note the slight difference in both spelling and pronunciation. And finally,
čtvrtek.
Thursday is the fourth day of the week. And that is all for today's lesson. But please join us next time if you can. Until then,
nashledanou.
Bye-bye.
The ABC of Czech brings us to the end of today's show. I'm Jan Wellinger. Bye-bye.